Amen.
Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together.
Yes, Lord.
This opportunity that we have to share the word of life, to bring the bread that will nourish, that will give us strength and vitality, that will give us the witness of the plans and the purposes of God that is for our lives. And Father, we are living in a very critical time. We're living in a very critical dispensation of the Gospels, for I believe that we are living in the end time, but not only just in the end time, but the very end of the end.
Amen.
And I believe, Father, that you will be manifesting yourself in a greater way, in a greater dimension, shortly in the future.
Mm.
Father, let us be ever so cognizant of our position of personal responsibility. Let us be ever so much aware of the position of accountability that we have as individuals, not necessarily unto each other, but as unto you, that there is an expectation, that there is a desire that is in your heart, possibly even an anticipation for the breaking forth of that contingent of humanity that comes forth in a collective manner, such as not has been seen ever before.
Amen.
In the world.
Yeah.
But now is standing on the brink or the threshold
of
being revealed. So, Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
We want to thank you for the goodness of God. We want to thank you for your unction, your anointing, in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I want to find the scripture that says that we have to work out our salvation. If we could find, somebody could find that for me, with fear and with trembling. And I think it's pertinent, I think it's really pertinent to the dream I had last night, or this morning. And perhaps I'll just reiterate that so it can be on tape, as well as those that weren't here can hear it.
Philippians.
Okay, good. So let us turn to Philippians and put our finger there or your marker. Praise God. If you have a Bible, children, you can turn to Philippians also, because you're working on fruit, right?
What was the chapter and verse?
2:12.
3:2. Oh, chapter 2. Now, if I can find Philippians. Ah, chapter 2, verse what, 12?
Yes.
Huh?
12.
12, that's what I said, 12. That's good. You know, that's a good number. Those are good numbers, you know. Anyway, before we go into that, the dream I had last night was that I was aware that this morning, I was aware that we had been invited to a dinner. In my mind, at the time, it was as though we were being invited to a dinner. And I don't know who the we were. I just know that I was being invited to this dinner, and that there was several other people who, as I was coming into the place, who were also coming into the place. But as I walked into the door, I noticed that it wasn't a dinner as I would have in my mind, as much as it was a feast. For there was this very long table. The room was very large. The room was very large, and the table was very long, and the table was very wide, and it was filled with all manner of food. Just whatever you know, familiar with, it was there, plus that which you wouldn't necessarily know, both fruit, vegetables, as well as meat. There were no chairs at the table, and I was aware that it was going to be like a buffet. Yes, like a buffet. And you were to go to one end of the table, take your plate, and you were to go along, and I was aware that you had to take something of everything. And as you were walking, you were eating and filling your plate, eating and filling your plate, eating and filling your plate. And I also knew that the food there would not agree with some of us in taste or presentation of it, the look of it would not necessarily appeal to us, and some of it, the taste of it would not necessarily be to our liking. But in that knowledge, I also knew that our response could not be a negative response. It had to be a positive response. And in it, with that, also came the knowledge that this was a test. And when you had gone around the table, now we had a discussion earlier when I was sharing it, between the word a trial as well as a test. This was not a trial. This was like an examination on the basis of trials that you may have been going through that were preparing you for this test. And at the end of the, as you would go around the table eating, the difference, you would go around the whole table and come back on the opposite corner of the table, and that it was at that point you were assigned a position. Now, if you were looking at it from where I was looking, which would have been at the end of the table, not where the start, those who had passed the test would go to the right, and those who did not pass the test would go to the left.
Did somebody tell them, or did they just know?
It was as though it was intuitively known. You did not make it. You were directed another direction. You were intuitively known. You knew you had to go this direction or you had to go that direction. So one was going to the right, one was going to the left. Now, looking at it from my perspective. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And when I was waking up in the morning, the song that came to me, which I believe was a part of it, was the song that says, with a grateful heart will I lift up your name.
Lift up your name.
So it seems to me that the Lord is speaking to me personally as well, I believe, as collectively. But in particular, I have to look at it from a personal standpoint. That there is a position or a place or an experience that we are coming into, or I could just as very well say that I am presently in, mm-hmm. that I have to understand the ramifications of my actions, the ramifications of my decisions and what I do and how I respond in it. I was also aware that if I was to take of the fruit and did not like it, I could not act in a normal fashion. You know, if you get something you don't like that's bitter or something, you want to spit it out, you grimace your face or something of that nature. That was not acceptable in this particular situation. So, and I believe that the Lord is impressing upon me the importance of my position of personal overcoming. Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord.
I believe that the Lord is impressing on me not only the importance of it, but in that aspect, and especially when it comes to foods, I can be kind of picky or particular, and there are just some things I don't like, and there are some things that I do like. But I do not have the liberty in the spiritual aspect of God to react as I would in the normal. Hallelujah. And that brings a certain trepidation to me, because I know And it brings a certain trepidation to me, because eating in the natural thing does not seem so critically important. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It is from a health issue, but from a personal standpoint, it does not seem to be a critical aspect by which I can be qualified or disqualified. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Because there are just certain things I don't like. And one of them, what was mentioned this morning, was a mango. I don't like mangoes. Mangoes, to me, taste like diesel fuel. I don't care where I eat them. I eat them in Africa. I eat them in the Philippines. I eat them somewhere else. They always taste like, or Jamaica, they always taste like diesel fuel. And I don't know, maybe not, you don't have never eaten diesel fuel, but I have had a lot to do with diesel fuel, with farm equipment and things of that nature, cleaning parts and all of the things that goes with mechanics and whatnot. And some of it you get in your mouth, but it's not just in your mouth, it is in your nose.
Mm-hmm.
You smell it, you taste it.
Right.
And I just, and it just, it's repulsive to me. But yet, I am aware that if I'm given a mango in the spirit, if I'm given a mango in the spirit, then my action is going to be assessed.
You mean if you're given a trial?
If I'm giving something in the nature of a mango as a trial.
As a test.
As a test. But it goes farther than that, Joycey. Because I understand now, I have to somehow get over my
preferences.
My personal preference with regards to mangoes.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I can't do it in the natural, mm-hmm. how in the world am I going to do it in the spiritual sense?
Right.
Now, I can spiritualize the whole thing and say, well, it's not necessary for me to eat mangoes. You understand, in order to achieve a spiritual objective. But that's not true. That's not true. It is first the natural, then the spiritual.
Yes.
There is a principle that I have to adhere to in my position of overcoming. Now, please, don't go around offering mangoes in every situation that you can. I appreciate your assistance. But I would appreciate you allowing the Lord to work it out for me in His timing. So it behooves me to begin to work with God in the aspect of those aspects. There is something else. Well, here, let me go back over to Philippians first. Let me read this scripture. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:12. Two is the number of witness. Philippians 2. Two is the number of witness. 12 is the number of, 12 is the number of divine government. Hallelujah. It's also a number of completion, but primarily it would designate a position of authority and rulership. 12. He had 12 apostles. There are 12 stones. Isn't there 12 stones?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the foundation of the temple, or
in Revelation.
In Revelation.
Yeah.
So 12 is not only the number of completion, but it is the number of divine government. And when you have the square of 12, which is what? 144,000. What is that? Huh? It is a company or an entity, a personality, a corporate personality that is in the total fullness of the position of government and moving not only in the authority, but with the authority of God. So as the authority, so as the authority of God moves, so does the 144,000. As the authority of God speaks, so does the 144,000. As the authority does, so does the 144,000. But you will not be a part of the 144,000 just because you have the revelation of 12, just because you have the revelation of sonship.
Amen.
Do you hear me? And that's important for us to get a hold of. That's important for us to come to grips with. We will not be, okay, I will not be in that company if I do not allow the fullness of that authority to be in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when this scripture is very pertinent to, I think, not only to the dream, but to the word that God is bringing us in this hour, because I believe that we are now living in that dispensation of the fullness of time, as was in the dispensation of the fullness of time when the angel came to Mary and prophesied over her that she would bear a son, and that son would be the Son of God. I believe that we, as a people who have had this word, are now finding ourselves in a similar dispensation of time, but in this dispensation is no unlike any other dispensation of time.
Amen.
Hello? Because I believe it is the dispensation of time when there will be a manifestation of that corporate son.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So here we have Philippians. Philippians 2. And 2 is the number of witness. 2 is the number of the Spirit and the Word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They are a witness to that position or that place of authority. And it says, 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. Now, there is a very good thought here that I want to bring out. Because when we are in a company or in the presence of other people, we may behave in a more appropriate manner. We may talk in an appropriate way. We may do in an appropriate way because of the constraint of the environment of the people that we are with. But when we are by ourselves, it is an entirely different environment. And we do not have the constraint upon us that we would have in that other environment. So therefore, we have a tendency to let ourselves down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's saying to them, you know, and I don't believe that these Philippians were all that good. Hallelujah. Because there were several problems that seemed to be that he was addressing, but he was not just commending them, but he was admonishing them. And not only was he admonishing them, but he was speaking a word to them in a prophetic sense. Hallelujah. Now, we have to understand the power of the prophetic word.
Yes.
And all of us have the ability to speak in the unction of that power. Hallelujah. Thank you. We all have the unction to speak in that power. And that power has the ability to create something that is not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay, let me give you a scriptural example of it. When Jesus Christ was talking to Peter, this was after his resurrection, and he was talking to Peter on the beach there, and he was prophesying to Peter. Huh? He's saying to Peter, well, you've always done what you wanted to do, you always went where you wanted to go, and what you didn't want to do, you did. He said, but there is coming a time. Huh? Did you hear it? There's coming a time. And he said, when you are old. Hallelujah. And, you know, good things come to us as we are getting older if we have the right mentality concerning the Word of God that we have and the goal or the expectation of God concerning us. Hallelujah. So he says, there will come a time when you are bound and carry you whither you would not go. Huh?
Hallelujah. But he didn't leave it. But in that administration, there was also a word that he brought to Peter concerning it, that he said that when you shall be what? Converted. Huh? What shall you do? You shall strengthen your brethren. See, Jesus was looking at a man who had cursed him, who had ran out on him, who denied him emphatically, not once, not twice, not once, but what, twice?
Thrice.
Was it
three times?
The cock was to crow
three times,
but how many times?
Three times.
Was it
third?
He said three times.
Okay, so he denied him. He had three opportunities not to deny him, and he failed every time. Hallelujah. But
and it says, when it cocked the third time, it says his heart smote him.
Yes. But that did not stop him from going fishing. That did not stop him from returning back to his old ways. That did not stop him from going out there. And it was in that condition and in that place that Jesus found them. Not only Peter, but his compatriots, his colleagues, John and James and all of them, they're out there fishing. Hallelujah. But he said, when you are converted, he was prophesying to this man in his low state, in his state of abject cowardness and betrayal. He was prophesying to this man, that he was going to come yet into another experience that would deliver him of his propensity of being Peter. Hallelujah. Not only was it going to deliver him, what? But it was going to give him an authority by which he would be able to move in that would what?
Strengthen
his brethren. Wouldn't only strengthen him, but it would strengthen his brethren. So we need to prophesy to our negative situations. You have the word of prophecy in you. You have the Holy Spirit.
Yes, within your spirit.
You need to prophesy to those abject. You get up in the morning and you feel terrible. You need to prophesy to the environment. Mm-hmm. Hello? And I don't mean just in your mind. Sometimes it's necessary just to verbalize your position of defeat and failure. You devil, you're not going to, I don't feel well today, but you're not going to get the victory.
Amen.
By the word of the Lord and the blood of Jesus Christ,
amen,
I am saying that God will energize and strengthen me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to utilize the tools that God has given us. The tool of the Holy Spirit is to make intercession for what? It's to make intercession for our infirmities. That's not just talking about our physical bodies. What is this physical body to my state of mental, to the state of my mental attitude?
Yeah.
What is my physical body?
Nothing.
Huh? Hallelujah. I can tell you an experience I had one time. It was one of the first trips, I believe it was Romania, when we first went into Romania. And when we went into Romania, was it Romania? Maybe you'll remember the experience. But they took us to this nursing home. And in this nursing home, it wasn't old people. It was people that had unbelievable physical incapacities.
Switzerland.
Huh? Switzerland? Was it Switzerland? Are you sure? Well, anyway, what was it? 20-some years ago?
Long time.
Huh?
Long time.
And we went in there, and I don't know, they all looked at me and says, "You're bringing the word." And I'm looking at these people. One person is in a straitjacket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're in a straitjacket, not because, and their legs are bound. They're not in a straitjacket because they are violent.
It is that they had no control over their limbs and their muscles, and they would violently jerk or move, and it would hurt themselves. So they had to restrain her. Was it a her or a him? I think it was a her. They had to restrain them in these. It had to restrain her or him in this apparatus to keep her from hurting herself. And there were other incapabilities. And I looked at the situation. I said, God, how in the world? What in the world can I minister to them? Mm. Hallelujah! And the Lord gave me a word about the Holy Spirit. Mm. Hallelujah! And I don't remember the totality of the word, but what I remember is that in the Spirit there are no limitations, mm. there are no boundaries. Mm. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
There are no limitations. Your body may, but in the Spirit, in God, you can be out of the body. Huh? Huh? Come on.
Amen.
You can be out of the body. Paul said, whether in the body mm-hmm. or out of the body, the Lord knows. I was lifted up where?
Mm-hmm.
Into the third heaven. Mm-hmm. So if we have the right attitude, if we have the right aspect of thought concerning what we have in us, the Holy Spirit is not given to us just for us to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit is given to us by virtue of the mechanics of God to work His will in His way regardless of our physical condition. Hallelujah. And I really believe that it has something to do with the experience that Philip had. Hello? You remember the experience? He was in a town, walking down a street, and all of a sudden, the Spirit picks him up.
Yeah.
Huh? And translates him through time and space into a different locality. And you know, we really don't know how far that...
Into the wilderness.
We don't know how far that was. My first thought, I don't know about yours, is how do I get here? How did I get here? And how am I going to get back? Huh? But Philip did not seem to be concerned mm-hmm. with the fact that he was somewhere that else than where he was. And I'm wondering, had he had this experience before?
He trusted God.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? He trusted God.
Yes, but I'm saying in my mind, has he had this experience before? There is a good... Now, that's my mind working, but I almost have to believe that this was not an uncommon occurrence.
That's right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. For these men who were walking in the Spirit under the authority of the word that they had received from Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we have received a word that is not just similar, but a word that is as the same word that they have received by virtue of the ratification of the Holy Spirit that we have received by virtue of that baptism. Hallelujah. So, but the key to it is that Philip believed.
Mm-hmm.
He was not disturbed. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the instantaneous, you know, the devil wants to get your mind off of God.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Duciles tells this story about one time he's in prayer, as he is normally, and he hears a knocking on the bed.
Uh-huh.
You remember the story?
Yeah.
Huh? Hallelujah. And he what? He gets out of the Spirit and into the flesh. But he thinks he's still in the Spirit.
Right.
And the Spirit begins to tell him all of these different things about different people. And he's getting his business. And God divinely intervened in his circumstances by rebuking the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 So the devil wants to try to trip us up. The devil wants to try to divert us in our thinking or in our mind. But Philip would not be diverted. He was no more there and... coming in, and he heard in the Spirit
God talk to him.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
See yonder chariot?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. He said, all the Bible says is go and join yourself to that chariot. And now, brethren, that chariot was moving. Come on. That man was going someplace. And he was intent on getting there. That chariot was moving. So Philip had to get from where he was to the chariot.
Amen.
Huh? Maybe he would like Elijah, who pulled up his skirt, huh? And ran before the horses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are talking about the position or the place of where it is God wants to bring us. Let us go back to Philippians 2. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but how much more at in my absence. It means that it is more necessary when you are in those environments of being alone that you behave and do according to what is righteousness in the aspect of the word that you have. Brethren, you cannot do righteousness because you think that it's right. Just because you think that is right.
Amen.
You have to be convinced that the word of God is the authority on which you are doing that rightness.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You have to believe that. You have to be wanting to believe, if you cannot believe, that the reality of the word in your mental aspect of thinking can be an actuality in your flesh. Huh? Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just good enough for me to think it.
No, it isn't.
It's not just good enough for me to speak it.
No.
I must believe that that word can work in my flesh.
Amen.
In my mind, in my emotions, in my desires, in all of the aspects of my being, I must believe. And if I don't have the ability to believe, then I need to get down before the Lord and ask Him to help me in my unbelief.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I must, it is critical for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it says, but now, much more in my absence.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. You know God will withdraw from you?
Amen.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you know that?
Amen.
You know that God would withdraw from you?
Mm-hmm.
God will put you in a situation and a circumstance. Now, God doesn't leave you. Because God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. But God will withdraw from you. He will pull back a little bit. Hallelujah. He will pull back a little bit to see if you will do what it is that you have been taught to do.
Yeah.
You see if you will do it in the way that you know that you should do it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will withdraw from you. Now, if you really want an example of that, look at Jesus Christ on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. It was so bad that Jesus said, oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know the ramifications of all of that, but I know that in that aspect, you and I will have to be betrayed in that respect.
Amen.
Did you hear me? God is going to put us in certain circumstances and situations, and He is then going to stand back a little ways to determine, to see whether or not we will do what needs to be done. Now, you say, where is that in Scripture, right? Huh? I give you Isaac and Abraham. Huh? Hallelujah. I give you Isaac and Abraham. God told Abraham a certain thing.
Mm.
He said, take your son.
Thine only son.
And then he said, thine only son. He emphasized it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, he was touching something in Abraham's soul.
Yeah.
Hello? He could have said, just take your son.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to touch something in Abraham's soul.
Hallelujah.
He said, take your only son.
Yeah.
God knew it was his only son. Abraham knew it was his only son. So why did God say, your only son? Because he wanted to touch Abraham in that aspect of his being. Hallelujah. And we're not told that God said another word to Abraham.
Amen.
Hello? Mm-hmm. Come on, brethren. Not until the man that had the boy on the altar and the knife was coming down, hello? Not till that time did God speak another word to Abraham. Do you think the devil was just sitting back twiddling his thumbs? Huh? Do you think he was reading a book somewhere?
No.
Huh? What was he doing?
Huh? Tormenting Abraham.
He was tormenting the man Abraham. He was tormenting him in his mind. He was tormenting him in his emotion. He was tormenting him in his desire. I can imagine Abraham was feeling it in his flesh, in his body. Hello? Hallelujah. But Abraham had an experience. Abraham had a position of relationship, and he was working to get in a better place in that relationship.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I just wonder how many times he would get up in the night and pace back and forth, or get out away somewhere and cry out to God, oh God, why is it that you want me to lay this young man on an altar and take his life? Hello? Hallelujah. But that did not deter him.
He thought God would resurrect him.
Well, he came to that belief, but I think he didn't come to it till at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
He had to move on the basis of what he believed was the word of God to him in the promise. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Yeah. In the promise. He had to believe it, and he was working toward it. And he made and he demonstrated that reality, and he spoke his own deliverance.
Amen. Amen.
Before him.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Abraham spoke the deliverance for himself as well as for Isaac. When the boy said, Father, we have the wood, we have the fire, where's the offering? What did he say?
God himself will provide
an offering.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He prophesied to his situation.
Right.
He prophesied to his circumstances. And in that aspect, in that moment, God made the substitution.
Yeah.
Hello? The substitution, I couldn't say, let me not say that God made it. The substitution became a reality.
Amen.
He not only prophesied the deliverance of Isaac and himself, he prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that would be given and the release of humanity that would be the result of it.
Amen.
That man prophesied it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have that word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We have the reality of that word. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. We may not have it in an experiential sense, but you have it in a mental, spiritual aspect that needs to come forth in the midst
Hallelujah.
Of physical experiences.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 So he says, but now much more in my absence, work out your own. Oh, I like that. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Work out your own salvation.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
I'm not responsible to help Jim work his salvation out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It doesn't mean I cannot have a burden for Jim. I'm not saying that. I cannot. That doesn't mean I do not pray. I do not look to the Lord. I do not intercede. I do not look to see to God as though there might be some way that I can facilitate my brother Jim. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
But it is his responsibility. It is absolutely his position of the gift that God has given him to work his own salvation out.
Amen.
Hello? If I'm sorry, I'm not picking on you, Jim, but he comes to me and he says something to me, and I said, well, Jim, you know, you blah, 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 blah. You probably shouldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. Now Jim has to make a decision.
Hallelujah.
Not based on his desires. Jim has to make a decision based on whether or not God is now speaking to him.
That's right.
Hello? And it may be the council is going contrary to what Jim wants to do. And you know, it works vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Hallelujah. It works vice versa. Because I have to hear God, and I have to know the applicability to me and my position of relationship with Him. Huh? And I have to make the right decision. Hallelujah. Brethren, it is a personal position. Hallelujah. There's another illustration of it. We talk about Gideon's 300, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. What were they given?
Water.
A lamp. And a trumpet.
And a trumpet.
To go into the battle.
What else were they? They were given specific items.
An earthen vessel.
Earthen vessel.
A candle.
A candle.
And a trumpet.
And a trumpet. What were they supposed to do individually? When they heard the signal came, what were they supposed to do?
Break the vessel.
Each one of them was to break
their own
vessels. Now, they didn't have Tom running over to Hank, hallelujah, and breaking Hank's vessel.
No.
The brother with the club ministry.
That's a possibility. Hallelujah. They each had the responsibility. Did you hear me?
Amen.
Brother, what if one of them would not break that vessel?
Hallelujah.
Disqualified.
He would not partake of the fruit of the victory, I can guarantee you. I cannot say that the plan of God would have been thwarted, but I can say that he would not have been in that position of being able to partake of the fruit of the victory.
Amen.
And you know something? Every one of them could not do anything but break that vessel.
Hallelujah.
Because each of them was handpicked by God.
And you are called pure chosen.
Hello? Hallelujah. Because God said to Gideon, bring him down to the water.
Amen.
Yes.
I, God.
I'll pick them.
I will pick them. I will try them.
Amen.
And the ones I pick, those are the ones you're going to use.
Amen.
So every one of them had already crossed the mark of determination, of consecration, of dedication. Were they perfect? I don't believe so. But in their minds, they had made up their mind to be in a right place at a right time.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Hallelujah. And they were working on their imperfection.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Do you hear? They were working on their imperfections.
Hallelujah.
When it talks about the drinking of the water, my God, brethren, how many times have we heard it? We have to participate with God, with the Word, in the actuality of our minds, our emotions, our desires.
Yes.
We must participate with God. God is not looking at our external.
Amen.
He doesn't look at how many times we read the Bible. He doesn't look at how many messages we release. He doesn't even look at how many people we talk to or how much we preach. He is looking at the heart of man as the individual is responding to the Word of God, and that Word is becoming flesh.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise
so God is calling us. God is encouraging us. God is pushing on us to understand the position of our place of relationship. So we are to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. Give me my tablet right there, will you, Chloe, please?
I have it amplified here if you want.
Yes, you could read it.
Okay. Therefore, my dear ones, as you've always obeyed my suggestions, so now... Not
your suggestions?
Yeah.
We'll just cross that one out. We'll cross that one out.
Amplify strikes. Not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence...
Oh, my God. How is that so apropos to our situation? You know, I look back on my experience with Seth and Mavis.
And I can remember meetings after meetings after meetings after meetings, going here, going there. Everybody was so excited. Everybody was so absolutely excited and thrilled to have them and wanted to be there in their presence. Ah, hallelujah. And I'm not just looking at other people. I'm thinking about myself and the discipline that I put myself under and the circumstances that I was in. And when he passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Amen. Amen.
Scattered.
Amen.
It was an entirely different story.
It was. Mm-hmm. Totally.
It was entirely different story.
Yeah.
Different story.
Yeah.
All over.
Yep.
Not just in the United States, but in Africa, but in Europe. It was a different, yeah. different story.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
Okay. Not only with the enthusiasm you were showing.
Not only with the
but much more. Because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation.
Yes.
With reverence and awe, trembling, self-distrust, that is the serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ.
So the same, he was saying, that the same enthusiasm that you showed when I was present
right.
is the same enthusiasm with which you should now pursue that he is out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? And he's out of the circumstances. He cannot assess it. He cannot see it. Hello? Hallelujah. And it says that we are to work it out, what? In fear. Oh my goodness. I was going to let that suffice us, but I think I'll go over here to see if I can find the Philippians 2:12. Hallelujah. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as always you obeyed me, and I work out with fear. It comes from the word provos, P-H-O-P-O-S. I suppose that's the word phobia. I suppose that's where we get the word.
Phobos.
Yeah, that's fear.
Yeah.
Phobos.
Fear.
He says, from a primary word, to be put in fear,
yeah.
alarm, or fright, exceedingly fear or terror.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes into, it's translated... 41 times fear, 3 times terror, and then it says that fear, dread, terror. That's that which strikes terror. Oh, my goodness. Now here, reverence for one's husband. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Reverence for one's husband. Hmm. Praise the Lord. Anyway, it says that it is to be afraid exceedingly. Not just a little bit. Exceedingly fearful. I had a very good lesson of this when I was growing up. My mother was a very good disciplinarian. She believed spare the rod, spoil the child. She did not have a rod. She had a razor strap that her grandpa gave her, that her dad gave her. And dad didn't use a straight razor, so mom figured to use that razor strap on us boys. And that by using it, she would sharpen us. Hallelujah. And I tell you, bless mom's heart. She was a good disciplinarian, but sometimes she could not handle the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And she would look at me, and she says, you wait till your father gets home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell your dad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Now, I have already experientially
had the experience of that discipline in me, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So I did not want to have that experience again. Hallelujah. Now, it's not that I did not love my dad. Don't get me wrong. But I knew that when you got on the wrong side of mom and you went to dad, you got on the wrong side of dad. And dad not going to take any word or excuse about anything. He's going to do what needs to be done. Hello? Hallelujah. And I was such a good boy. When she said that, I would be such a good boy, hoping somehow she would forget about it and think, oh, you know, he's changed, he's repented, but it never worked. And she would tell my dad, and my dad would come in there, he would take you by the arm, he would take that razor strap, and he would start wailing away on me. Huh? And all I can remember is floor, wall, ceiling, floor, wall, floor, and when you'd come around, he'd give you a push. Mm-hmm. Oh, hallelujah. It taught me what it means to fear God.
Yeah.
Do you understand me? Mm-hmm. It taught me. There are some things I do, not because I don't want to do them, but because I fear
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Amen.
I fear God. Now, it is not that my dad was mean or mean or abusive. You understand me?
Yeah.
It was that he meant business. And when mom told me to do something, he meant for me to obey my mother.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it taught me how to fear God. If I had not had that experience, I don't know that I would fear God. I would think that my God would be somewhat like my dad. Hello? And my dad was not a righteous man. But yet, in the aspect of following the principles of the Spirit, he fulfilled and worked within me a principle that is a spiritual reality to me. Hallelujah. So I am to fear God. Hallelujah. You know, it says with trembling. Oh, let me see here. And when I think about that, I think about somebody who has been almost... Have you ever been so scared that your energy just drains out of you?
Oh, yeah.
You feel just weak and drained? Huh? Have you ever had that experience? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Trembling.
Yeah.
It comes from tromos. I wonder if that's traumatic.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And it means trembling, i.e. quaking with fear.
Yeah.
Huh? Trembling, to trembling, tremble. Trembling or quaking with fear. With fear and trembling used to describe the anxiety of one who distrusts his ability to completely meet all the requirements. Huh? All the requirements but religiously, I don't like that, does his utmost to fulfill his duty. Hello? Hallelujah. I had a drill sergeant in the Army who taught us that if we ran in the face of the enemy, if we were in combat with him, and if we ran in the face of adversity, he would shoot us. And this man was a man that you knew was telling you the truth. Hallelujah. I thank God. So you fear. I feared the sergeant more than I feared the enemy. Because one way or the other, I was going to die.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, let me die for the right thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, fear him who is... do not fear him who is what? Able to destroy the body. But fear him what? Who is able to cast the soul into hell.
That's right.
Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. I'm talking about not just a loving, gushy-ushy God that wants to pet you and give you all of the good things of life. I'm talking about a God who has an eternal destiny that he knows the reality of it greater than you and I, and he wants you to have that so bad that he will bring you to a place of fearing him. And utilizing that fear to motivate you to get into the kingdom of God. Why did you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Why did you accept him?
Honest?
Huh?
I was scared of hell.
There you go.
Yeah. I had no knowledge of God.
Amen.
Catholic.
Oh, yes, you're scared of hell. Yes, absolutely.
Nothing else. No other motivation.
I didn't love God when I got saved. I didn't start loving God, Joyce, till after I got saved. I didn't love God. I thought God was this thing that would make me do everything I didn't want to do and not let me do anything. And if I didn't do anything that he wanted me to do, he'd throw me in hell.
Play a harp on the clouds.
And somehow, I don't know, but hell was a reality to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Maybe something pre-programmed in me as a human being born in darkness. I don't know. But I was afraid of hell, and I got saved to escape hell.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, is that just a one-time experience?
No, it isn't. No.
It sets the stage.
Mm-hmm.
For every experience that comes after that. And you know something? The greater we know about God, the more we should fear him. But that isn't the case. Because it seems the greater we know about God in our minds and mentality, the greater we become familiar with him, and we lose that sense of fear. Oh, God wouldn't do that to me. I'm doing this. God wouldn't do that to me. Yes, he would.
Yes, he would.
He would do it if it would be a means by which to save you and get you into a position that he has created for you the day you were born again. Hallelujah. So God is bringing us to a greater understanding.
Oh, Jesus.
And the revelation of the knowledge of him.
Amen.
May we pray for each other.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
That we might all do the best to finish the course that has been given to us individually, that we, at the end of the day, might obtain that prize.
Amen.
Huh? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, and God bless you.
There was, as you were talking about the prophecy of Abraham, Dad, what came to me was that there can be no manifestation, there can be no fulfillment of the prophecy prior to obedience. That only once there has been obedience can there come the manifestation.
You have the power to destroy the prophecy.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Forgive us.
The commandment to Moses, or to the people, was, I set before you today
Amen.
A blessing
and
or a curse.
Amen.
If you do
yes.
the will of God, you will be blessed. If you work against the will of God, you will be cursed.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hallelujah.
You know,
we have to play our part.
Yes.
Amen.
It makes you think about the familiarity sometimes that we take with the Lord has brought us into a contemptuous relationship with him sometimes instead of what it should be.
So the verse that came to me, Dad, as you were just touching on that, was knowledge puffeth up.
Yes, mm-hmm. It does.
It does.
And
but don't you think it should bring knowledge in itself will puff you up?
Yes.
But the more that you... If you really have true knowledge of God,
excuse me, I'm going to kick you.
Worship him.
Yeah,
right.
The catalyst to knowledge is love.
Right.
You know, it says, add unto these things, you know, right. temperance and patience and meekness and kindness and the fruit of the Spirit.
Tired.
But there's a scripture that speaks of, you know, that you can't have knowledge unless you first have love. You know, there's that the reference is escaping me, But the verse where it says, add unto your temperance.
It's Peter. First Peter.
Yes.
Chapter 1.
That scripture is a progression of events in the Christian walk.
Amen.
Where you can't, you according to the scriptures, you can't add things before other things.
Right.
Otherwise, it becomes a device out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it runs the risk of shelling out and causing mayhem. And
well, it's like putting a transmission together. If you
yes.
put, if you don't put certain parts into the transmission in the order that they're supposed to be there, the transmission will not work in the way that it's supposed to work.
Yes.
And knowledge without virtue—that's what puffeth.
Yeah, you gotta have virtue. It says.
Yes.
And how do I know that? Unfortunately.
Experience. Well, you quoted pressing toward the mark. I want to read in the Amplified Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize, to which God in Christ is calling us upward. Verse 15, so let those of us who are spiritually mature and fully grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also.
Praise the Lord.
Sometimes they amplify this very
good.
Sometimes.
As you were sharing that dream this morning, Dad, and you began to speak of the food that was unappealing to the individuals, what came to me was Proverbs 27, starting in verse 6. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And in that, I was thinking of how Christ said, you must eat of my flesh, you must drink of my blood, and that the body is also, you know, we see that the continuation of that is in the communion. He said, in as much of this that you do this in my, you know, in remembrance of me, you know, that the body is called to partake one from another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we are feeding on one another, and we are feeding one another.
And that's very important, because
sometimes we don't want to eat that food. That's
very important, because in the aspect of it, there, as I was meditating this morning before we came, and I'm going back over that word that Cecil gave on Saturday. two verses came to me. One was found in. One is found in Galatians, and it's Galatians 5. It says, "For brethren, ye have not been you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to it, but love serve one another." The other one that came to me was in Acts, in chapter 10. And it says, and it's the story of Peter. But and there came a voice to him and said, "Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." The voice that spake unto him again a second time, "What God has cleansed, that call not thou common," and so forth. But what it really speaks to me is it really dealing in relationships.
Amen. Because immediately after that, he was sent to Cornelius.
So it really dealing with it's really dealing with relationships.
Now, one thing you had mentioned in the dream is that those that did not partake of the food properly, or if they did not partake of all that we're finding.
That's correct.
They were relegated to another location.
Well, and that's the ministry of the table of showbread. There are 12.
And the curious thing about it, the dream, is in the division of them, one going to this way and one going that way, is that it was from my perspective. And I really didn't know
which position or place was the right place. I personally did not know. Now, when I look at it and I think about it, I think, well, the right, my right, that's God, and separate the sheep and the goats, one on his left hand, one on his right hand. But I didn't know which one was the right hand or left
God
hand.
God facing the table.
That's right. That's
were
exactly.
Were you walking from the throne,
right,
or were you walking towards the throne?
Right. That's right.
I like what Brother DeSille said, you know. He said, you know, Jesus came to me and he began to whisper in my left ear. One brother said, oh, brother, your left ear, that's your flesh. And he said, but then I began to think about it, and I would have been standing on the right hand of God in order for him to whisper into my left ear.
Yes, yes. He said that many times.
I think that's probably the place it should be.
You know, when it says in the Bible, be holy because I am holy, it's the Holy Ghost that makes you holy.
Yes.
And if you obey the Holy Ghost, you are holy.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, whenever you're in the Spirit, you are perfect.